Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
And I always feel like when I have Roy Firestone on, when we had him on in the past, it would just be, hey, let's talk baseball, let's do this. I feel like it's something that brings us down a little bit. I don't know if Roy will agree with me. Roy, how are you?
I'm doing great. I bring you down?
No, I'm saying like the stories that we end up talking about are, we have, of course, we're going to talk about Wes Unseld tonight, but, right. You know, and we've had other people passing. It was Don Shula last time, and then before that.
I'm sort of the obit guy. I'm either the birthday guy or the obit guy,
Hold on. You're a little bit more than that.
This is a long time.
Yeah.
And you start to see some of these people start to fade away, which is part of life, you know.
Yeah.
And you tell stories about him, I guess. In fact, I'm going to make a prediction, Jeremy, tonight, that this story will move you. You know the story, but the audience I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But
so,
not bring anybody down. I think it'll bring people up. How's that?
No. And you're 100% right. And after you said, do you want me to send it to you? I said, sure. And then once I read it, it's just one of those incredible stories. And I don't want to ruin anything, so I'll let you do your thing about Wes Unseld and one of the experiences you had.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me, as always. And, you know, we have a whole generation, much of your audience doesn't remember the Baltimore Bullets. They don't even remember maybe the Washington Bullets because of the Wizards now. But the Baltimore Bullets were the only championship NBA team in your area for forever. It's the only time, 1978. Wes Unseld was a big part of it. I'm going to tell a story, and it's going to take a couple of minutes here for your audience. And this man meant an awful lot to me, and some of our older members of our audience would probably agree that he was really a special guy. For those who don't know, Wes Unseld, a former Washington Bullets Hall of Fame player, coach, and executive. He died today at 74. You may not know that Wes is distantly related to Muhammad Ali, but that's another story. This is really a story about Wes's father. Now, Wes told me how his parents' love shaped his entire life. He was one of nine children, Wes was. And yet this is how close he was to his father. His father's nickname was Big, Big Charles. Wes was on a road trip when he decided he wanted to marry his sweetheart, Connie. By the way, they were married for 50 years. Wes couldn't do it because he was on a road trip, and then he also had to serve in the reserves, so he couldn't even get away to ask his wife to marry him. So he phoned his father, Big Charles. He went to Connie's house. He got down on his knee and proposed marriage on behalf of his son, Big Charles. He was huge. He was about 6'8", 6'9". Wes was 6'7". He was Bunyan-esque, was Big Charles, a huge man who laid bricks for a living. Wes would tell me later, I have no doubt that he worked himself to death for his kids. My mother worked and sacrificed too, he said. So I remember one time overhearing my parents argue with my dad trying to get my mother just to buy a dress. She insisted that someone else in that family of nine needed shoes. And I remember my dad saying, but you haven't had a dress in years. Things like that stuck with me, said Wes. Well, Wes made what I think was one of the most eloquent, and by the way, relatable, especially in the timbre of our times right now, and the tenor of our times right now, and the tensions that are going on. I think this is really relevant. He made one of the most eloquent and touching statements about family that I've ever heard. He said, to me, the best thing my father ever did for all of us nine kids was very simple. He loved our mother. That kept us together. And right now, we're as close as we can be. I'm basically what my parents made me. Now, there seems to be no consistent formula to successful parenting. There's no secret except for love. My father didn't tell me how to live, said Wes. He just lived and let me watch him do it. Big Charles built the unsold home literally with his bare hands. He laid brick after brick and literally put a roof over his family's head. He died of a massive heart attack before he even reached the age of 50. But he led with his heart. He led with his love until that heart had nothing else to give and it broke. So sometimes, folks, when you hear of the dissolution of the American family unit and all the troubles we are going through in this country with division, remember Big Charles and the Unsolds. Because unconditional love is the greatest power in the universe. We are all here for such a short while. The only thing that truly never dies, I don't think, is unconditional love. The lessons of a father, not just in words, but in deeds, and they can last an eternity. And those lessons are passed on from generation to generation. To have been loved so deeply, said J.K. Rowling, to have been loved so deeply, even though the person who loved us is gone, will give us some protection forever.
Yeah, I mean, that,
well, that's
and I think
story,
that's...
and it's an amazing story, but I think it's particularly apt right now with what we're going through right now and a lot of hate and a lot of division and a lot of sadness in this country to remember the uplifting story on the day of his passing, Wes Unseld.
Yeah, and, you know, when I read that, it took me back to my grandmother on my mother's side had dementia for God, I want to say it was 6 or 7 years. And even to the point when she couldn't speak or really move all that much anymore, my grandfather would, if they let him spend 24 hours a day at the hospital, he'd lay in bed with her. And I'd like to think I could do that for someone else. But, I mean, it's these truly special people, and it leaves a lasting image with you when you see something like that. And when I was reading that, that's what it first made me think about, but it just kind of shows you the character that was passed down the West, because all I've ever heard about Wes Unseld, and I've seen the highlights, I've watched the videos, I can look at the numbers, was what an amazing person he was as well.
Right. And here's something else, and this is for the Baltimore area. Wes Unseld's wife, Connie, who is still very much alive and maybe even listening, or maybe one of her friends are listening, Connie Unseld, she opened a school in Baltimore, the Unseld School, in 1979. It was a co-ed private school located in the southwest Baltimore area, has a daycare program, nursery school, kindergarten to eighth grade curriculum. Connie and daughter Kimberly served as teachers at that school. Wes worked as an office manager at one point, even though he had all those professional ties. He was office manager and head basketball coach of that school. He is the godfather, or was the godfather, of the Cleveland Cavaliers all-star forward Kevin Love, as Kevin's father, Stan Love, was a teammate of Wes's on the Baltimore Bullets. And the late Wes's son, Wes Jr. now, was a basketball coach with the Denver Nuggets as well. So it's a long lineage of basketball, but mostly a long lineage of love. And I think that's something that we really need to think about, contemplate today more than probably any other time right now in our country. How do we love better? And I think Wes's story was just so touching to me, I wanted to share it with you.
No, Roy, I really appreciate it. And you know, part of that, too, and what you're talking about, like, this has been, I don't know, I just think about this year, and I couldn't imagine another year like this. Now, I know there have been years that have had huge impacts in society and things, but it just never feels like we're done with the issues at hand, whether it's, you know, the coronavirus. I haven't even heard anybody bring up coronavirus in 3 days, you know, with all the other stuff that's gone on. But it's just strange watching not only the news, but social media now, where just everything's readily available.
You know, I never do political stuff, and I won't today. I'm never going to do it because it just polarizes people. They have their opinions. I have mine. I have my views, but I keep them mostly myself, except from social media, only one form, and that's Facebook. But I do want to say one thing, and this is not a criticism of anything or anybody, because we have just enough of people. You don't need my opinion. But we have to find a way to talk to each other. We've got to find a way to communicate with each other, not just an obligatory kind of way, you know, symbolic way, but really sit down and talk and find out what's going on in people's. It shouldn't have to come to violence. It shouldn't have to come to protest. It shouldn't have to come to outrage. We've got to find out. You know, Kareem had an interesting thing today. I was listening to him. He said, do you have, let's say you're a white person, do you have a black friend, a real black friend? Could you want to have one? Because he thinks that if white people and black people chose at least one person in their life that didn't look like them, that maybe it would change the perception of how people look at one another in their fears and their anxieties. I have a guy named Tyler Merritt. He was on the Jimmy Kimmel Show the other night. He did a piece that you have to see. It's on social media. It's called Before You Call the Cops. And basically the piece was, hey, I love hip-hop, but I also love the store from Oklahoma. I hate bananas, but I also love hamburgers. Mm-hmm. The reason what he was trying to say there was, you know, I may be just like you. So before you panic me walking down the street with my headphones on, remember, I might be, if you knew my mother, he said, you might love my mother. I might love your mom. I know it sounds simplistic, and I know it sounds almost silly, but we need to find a way in this world to connect with people. It's so fleeting, our lives. You know, our time is so short that we need to find a way. What about our humanity? What would I love about your dad? What would I love about your mom? What would I love about your brother? Mm-hmm. Tell me stories. Humanize each other. Try to find a way to humanize with each other. Well, now, it sounds very romantic and overly, you know, simplistic, but I really do think, you know, my career as an interviewer was about humanity. I really believe that if I could find some kind of humanity in people and share it with the public, then I thought I really did my job. And we had many examples. We had many that didn't work out. But the shows that I think work best were like the Wes Unseld show. So you could relate to Wes Unseld as a human being and the love he had with his family, with his father. And it was always fascinating to me. And it was always moving and inspiring to me. And it's basically part of my own DNA.
Yeah, and something I brought up, and I mean, at least it resonates with me, and I had a long conversation with my father about this, that, you know, I even told him, I said, I want to be better than you, and I want my kids to be better than me, and it's not a mm-hmm. slight at him, you know, or anything like that. That's just how I think. Yeah, and for my whole life, I've always considered myself a black sheep of my family, but in more so, I consider myself a free thinker, and I think it's one of the hard things to do is look at things that you were taught and whether or not that's right or wrong, or figure things out on your own. And I think it's one of the big problems we have. I saw a video of two little kids. One was black, one was white, and they wanted to get the same haircut so their teacher couldn't tell them apart. And I feel like there's a big part of society that so much of this hatred is just taught and passed down, and people are mimicking everything they've seen or repeating things that they heard in their homes. And you know, I just wonder when that part of it's going to change. And I was saying earlier, I don't know that it'll happen in my lifetime. I don't know it'll happen in my kids' lifetime. But you kind of hope at some point it happens.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah.
It's about time. It's time.
The other thing
I want to just say one more thing, and we talk about Brooks a lot. Mm-hmm. Brooks listens. He's probably listening tonight. Remember one thing. Brooks came from Arkansas. Frank Robinson came from a family of 10 and grew up in Oakland, even though he was born in Beaumont, Texas. Never saw a father. Brooks had a great father. But when he came to Baltimore, Brooks helped make sure that Frank had a place to live. They wouldn't rent or lease to him unless Brooks had signed it over. I think I told you that story before. That's a gesture of kindness. That's something that lives forever and is passed on forever, gestures of kindness to one to another human being, especially someone who doesn't look like.
Absolutely. I wanted to get to, you know, lighter side of it. You know, I know you're a huge baseball fan. Where do you stand with the talks that are going back and forth? I feel like they'll get something done, but it got ugly there before, you know, hopefully it does get better.
I just, you know, it's millionaires fighting for more money with billionaires. You know, I'm sorry, but I love the game. I love the game. And I just don't think it plays well. It's not good optics or audio or whatever you call it. If you hear somebody say, you know, I got to get mine. We're going through a pandemic. We have upheaval in this country. We have people, 40 million people are trying to get unemployment benefits. And you have some multimillionaire baseball players saying, I better not get my thing prorated. I want all my money or I'm not playing. It just isn't right. And the owners could give something back too. I don't know what it would be. They're talking 50 games, and I heard earlier this week 114 games, which I don't think they could pull off. But they should shut up about the money and just keep it to themselves. It eventually comes out anyway. But don't fight over money during a pandemic, for God's sakes. And remember the fans. And remember the fact that you can do a lot of good in playing a game, if you can pull it off, by the way, and there's a lot of question whether you can. But in all the sports, just shut up about money. Don't go public talking about money or deals or contracts. And we do it too in media. But people are hurting. And baseball could be some kind of salve or some kind of, distraction maybe. I don't even know if they can pull it off. But just for God's sake, stop talking about money. And whatever you do, don't make demands. You're not in a position of demanding much of anything on either side because of what's going on in this country. You look at baseball as almost a kind of civic duty. Take a little less, both sides, and play the game if you can. And I don't know if they can.
Hey, Roy, one last thing for you. I don't know if we talked about this last time or not, but the Lance Armstrong documentary, did you ever have any encounters with Lance?
That's an entire other show. Here's what I would like to say, and I'll make it as short as I can. Lance Armstrong was a fraud. Yeah. He was a liar. He was a deceiver. He deceived a lot of people. He ruined a lot of people's lives. Yes, you can argue. He generated $700 million for cancer, for Livestrong. But he still did it in false pretenses. As far as I'm concerned, and he deceived not just me, people like Sally Jenkins, who wrote his book, and Rick Riley and myself and Bob Costas and others. And he kept lying over and over. It wasn't like people say, everyone makes a mistake. Well, he made 7 years of mistakes with 7 tours de France. And I can tell you, he also denied and lied to the USPS, their sponsor, United States Postal Service. They sued him for $10 million. Yeah, you could give a two-part series. It's always interesting. Infamy sells. It always does. Mm-hmm. But I would rather see somebody who could really inspire. I'd like to see at least a one-part series on what Wes Unseld and his father were about. Yeah. I'm sick and tired of hearing about all these infamous things that people do that get all that airtime because people are fascinated by deceivers and liars, I guess. But I didn't watch it. I don't want to watch it. I interviewed him multiple times. He lied to my face. He lied to most people to their face for years. And now he's trying to spin it a little bit. They all did it, all that kind of stuff. Hey, stand up, take responsibility for what you did, move on, and go away. Because even though he did some good, a lot of good, we could have earned that $700 million somewhere else maybe.
Yeah, I basically said I didn't need 4 hours to find out that he's a jerk. I feel like I could have told I knew that in the first 5 minutes of watching it or from the little bit I knew about him and then the whole storyline there. I know you got some auction items and things going on. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, real quick. First of all, I want to plug the book. My book is That's What I'm Talking About. It's doing really well. It's on Amazon. You can get it on audio, book two if you want. Amazon, or if you want me to sign the book, go to royfirestone.com. Then the other thing I want to do is we do these auction items when I come on, Jeremy, with your show, and when I did it with Scott. I'll just give you a couple of quick things. If you'd like one of these items, they're all going to go to charity. We have 2 Eddie Murray bats, black and an ash, beautiful ones. We're going to start the bidding at just $300, both signed by Eddie. We have Frank Robinson signed bat, legendary Frank Robinson bat. We'll have you make a bid, or whoever wants to bid can make a bid. And I have multiple signed, beautiful 2-foot by 2-foot prints of Brooks and Cal and Eddie and Dempsey and Frank and all of them, multiple different pictures. If people are interested and want to maybe inquire and maybe do some good for charity, especially for kids' charities, I am at ADDROY, that's ADDROY at AOL, AdRoy at AOL. If you'd like me to, I'll send you pictures. We'll do a little correspondence if you'd like. We had a bunch of people buy stuff last week. It all goes to charity. And this is our 25th year. We had to postpone the charity this year, so we need the money even more. So if folks are Oriole fans listening and you want some of those items or any of those items, contact me at ADDROY at AOL, and let's try to do some good.
Hey, Roy, I tell you this all the time. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I was telling you this when you texted me. I'm going, man, I need some. Who am I going to get to talk about Wes Unseld? And I didn't. It was almost like you texted me right when I was thinking. I said this couldn't have been any more perfect. But I really appreciate it.
And the last thing I'll say is, what's great about your show, Jeremy, is I get to tell my stories. It's not like 3 minutes and out. What's your take of the Bengals and the Ravens this week?
No.
You know, we get to tell stories and. I really treasure that, and my podcast is coming up in 3 weeks. I'm going to get you on one of these weeks,
too. Oh, awesome.
Too.
That'd be great. I think you probably have more stories than all of us, man, but you've interviewed them all.
I've been very fortunate. I like to share them, especially if it uplifts people. I really do.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Roy, and we appreciate it. We'll talk again.
You got it, Jay. Be well. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.